Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
We are, basically your ultimate well-read friends. And today we are extracting the actual signal from just a deafening amount of digital noise.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise out there right now.
There really is. So our source material today is this really fascinating look at the June 8th, 2026 edition of the tech and gaming newsletter, Tick and Knight. And the mission for you, the listener, is to track this massive overarching theme today.
Right, the theme of control and transparency.
Exactly. We are looking at how massive corporations are desperately trying to control their digital ecosystems, how developers are struggling with transparency when building virtual worlds.
And then ultimately, how governments are just catastrophically failing to protect the infrastructure holding it all together.
Yeah, it gets pretty intense. Hey,
Okay.
let's unpack this. Starting with a massive corporate identity crisis over at Microsoft.
The Xbox situation right now is, well, it's a masterclass in corporate whiplash.
Whiplash almost feels like an understatement.
It really does. I mean, they are caught in this strategy loop that just seems to contradict itself every few months.
Totally. So here is the setup from the newsletter. We are at the Xbox Games Showcase for 2026.
Right.
And Xbox's new CEO, Asha Sharma, who just took the reins back in February, gets on stage.
And she makes a really bold declaration.
Insanely bold.
Yeah.
She claims Xbox aims to be the number one gaming company on Earth by 2030.
Which is a huge goal.
Massive. And her strategy to do this is reversing course and permanently locking down massive blockbuster titles as Xbox console exclusives. Like drawing a line in the sand. These games are never coming to the PlayStation 5.
Which, completely ignores the strategy they were deploying just last year.
Right, when they were porting everything.
Exactly. They were aggressively porting former exclusives like Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves over to PlayStation just to boost software sales. So Asha Sharma is essentially trying to unring a very loud bell here.
And she is using some really heavy hitters to try and unring it. They showed off Gears of War, E-Day, dropping October 6th, 2026.
Oh, yeah, people are hyped for that.
Built entirely on Unreal Engine 5. It's a prequel starring a young Marcus Fenix during Emergence Day.
And that is a huge deal for the franchise.
Yeah, and then they double down with Clockwork Revolution for 2027. It's this massive steampunk time travel RPG from InXile Entertainment. Both of these are declared permanent console exclusives.
See, those are two massive narrative-driven single-player experiences.
Right.
That is a very specific stake in the ground.
How so?
Well, Unreal Engine 5 isn't just a graphics upgrade. It is this massively complex ecosystem of physics and rendering that inflates budgets into the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, for sure.
So making games of that scale exclusive to one piece of hardware, I mean, that requires immense confidence.
Right, but then that confidence just vanished,
Yeah.
like almost immediately.
Because of the Matt Booty interview.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Xbox's chief content officer gives this totally contradictory interview shortly after. He says live service games like Halo Infinite will stay multi-platform because they need large, active communities.
Which makes total business sense.
But for those massive single-player games, he says they will evaluate them, quote unquote, case by case.
Ah, the dreaded case-by-case strategy.
Right.
It's basically the corporate equivalent of throwing your hands in the air and admitting you don't actually have a plan.
It's so baffling. Like, think about it. If a restaurant changes its concept every single day
Yeah.
based on the chef's move on, Monday is a vegan bakery, Tuesday is a Brazilian steakhouse.
Right. Nobody knows what to expect.
Exactly. How can a customer, or in this case, a gamer or a developer, know what they're actually investing in? You're just breeding confusion.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Microsoft isn't just confused. They are trying to be the landlord and the tenant at the exact same
Oh,
time.
that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, and the underlying math of modern game development just doesn't support doing both anymore. You have the traditional console model, which is the landlord. Asha Sharma is looking at Sony's absolute empire of narrative exclusives.
Like The Last of Us and Spider-Man.
Exactly. Exclusives drive hardware sales. To restore the premium identity of Xbox, locking down Gears of War makes total sense as the landlord.
But then Matt Booty is looking at the spreadsheets for Game Pass.
And that is the tenant problem. The modern Game Pass era relies heavily on subscriptions.
Right.
So when you spend $300 million developing a game, restricting it to just Xbox console owners severely limits your return on investment. You desperately need that software on every possible screen to sustain the cloud servers.
Including PlayStation.
Right, so they're paralyzed. And this case-by-case compromise just fractures the ecosystem.
Yeah, if you're a gamer, you don't want to drop $500 on a console if the game might just get ported later.
Yeah.
And developers face total technical uncertainty about how to optimize their code.
Which actually pivots us perfectly into the other side of that trust equation.
Yeah, let's talk about Sega.
Right, because while Microsoft is muddying the waters with their messaging, Sega is taking this radical step toward transparency.
And it sparked an absolute industry-wide firestorm. So at that same Xbox showcase, Sega announced Crazy Taxi World Tour for 2027.
People love Crazy Taxi.
Totally. But it wasn't the trailer that broke the internet. It was their Steam page. Abiding by Steam's strict new disclosure rules, Sega openly declared they used generative AI to develop the game.
And the internet predictably just grabbed the pitchforks. I mean, players vowing to boycott, artists claiming their livelihoods were stolen.
But the nuance got totally buried in the outrage.
Okay.
Because the source material is very specific about this. Sega clarified they strictly use generative AI as a background support tool.
That's for the repetitive stuff.
Exactly. Procedural environmental clutter.
Yeah.
Buildings, street signs, distant trees. And they noted that human artists still reviewed every single asset.
And absolutely no AI was used for character design or voice acting.
Right. They drew a very clear line. So I kind of want to play devil's advocate here.
Not for it.
Using an algorithm for a background billboard in a racing game, it feels like using a food processor to chop onions for a gourmet meal. It just saves tedious time. Are gamers overreacting to a background blur you speed past at 100 miles per hour?
What's fascinating here is that the outrage isn't really about the background tree in Crazy Taxi. It's about the pipeline economics of game development.
What do you mean?
Well, historically, junior artists break into the industry by doing exactly that tedious work, modeling the trash cans and the signs.
Oh, I see. It's how they learn the studio's tools.
Exactly. It's how they eventually graduate to character design. If an AI savant hallucinates all those background trees, that entry-level tier of the industry just vanishes.
The bottom rung of the ladder is sawed off entirely.
It really is, and the precedent is terrifying for them. It's a slippery slope. Today it's a street sign. Tomorrow the financial incentive pushes them to use it for an NPC. And the year after that, a main character.
Wow. Yeah, the existential threat is real.
But you have to admit, Sega's transparency here is actually somewhat commendable.
Compared to studios just quietly cutting costs and hiding it. For sure, Steam's rules kind of forced their hand. But it highlights this massive looming question about the training data.
Ah. Right.
Because how did that AI learn to draw a tree in the first place? It scraped millions of original works, likely without permission or compensation to the human artists.
That is the ultimate friction point. The industry is expanding its digital worlds much faster than it can establish ethical boundaries.
And if they don't self-regulate, the government's going to step in.
And historically, lawmakers clumsily regulating tech they don't understand leads to incredibly restrictive policies.
Which is the perfect, albeit terrifying, transition to the final piece of our deep dive today.
Oh, the cybersecurity report.
Yeah, because we just talked about Sega trying to manage the integrity of digital trees. But meanwhile, the ultimate authorities, governments, and corporations are proving they cannot even protect our real-world digital infrastructure.
The jump from digital entertainment to digital warfare in this newsletter is so sobering. It paints a picture of a system in total freefall.
The statistics from the TechCrunch June report are insane. Over 50 million records leaked in April 2026 alone.
Just staggering volume.
Think about that. And in February, this major government contractor, Conduent, suffered a catastrophic ransomware attack. 25 million victims had their medical and financial records exposed.
And the corporate response is even shadier. You have the IBM whistleblower.
Oh my gosh, yes. A former high-ranking cybersecurity exec alleging IBM intentionally covered up three separate nation-state acts over the last decade.
Just to protect their stock price and reputation.
Exactly.
When a pillar of global tech is actively burying successful breaches, it heavily implies the public numbers are just a fraction of the real damage. The perimeter is breached everywhere.
But the climax of this report, the one that fundamentally shakes your faith in the system, is the FBI.
This is the one that really gets you.
Completely. The newsletter details a deep systemic breach of the FBI's Digital Collection System Network, the DCSN.
Which is their internal, highly classified surveillance network.
Right. And the prime suspect is Salt Typhoon, a sophisticated Chinese state-sponsored group. But they didn't just smash a window and run. The source indicates they had unrestricted access from November 2025 all the way through early March 2026.
4 uninterrupted months roaming around the highest echelons of U.S. counterintelligence.
Wait, so they had access to FISA warrants, like the top-secret court-approved requests to spy on suspected foreign agents.
Yeah, and pen register returns.
Meaning they could see exactly which phone numbers the FBI was tracking in real time?
Precisely.
If the ultimate guardians of our national security can have their literal wiretaps bugged by a foreign power for a third of the year,
yeah,
isn't the average citizen's data basically sitting in an unlocked car with the engine running?
It absolutely is. And this raises a really important question. How did we get here?
How does an adversary sit inside the FBI undetected for 4 months?
To understand that, we have to look at the mechanics of modern cyber warfare. The newsletter outlines 3 pillars making 2026 a nightmare.
Okay, what's the first one?
First, nation-state actors like Salt Typhoon are incredibly patient. They use a technique called living off the land.
Break that down for me. What does it mean to live off the land in a digital network?
Well, instead of dropping loud malware that an antivirus would flag, they steal a legitimate IT administrator's credentials.
Okay.
They log in normally, and they use standard Windows administrative tools to quietly move around. To the security software, it just looks like the IT guy doing his job.
Wow. So they lay low, map out the floor plan, and quietly observe that operational security is why they lasted 4 months.
Exactly. And that brings us to the second pillar. Hackers aren't just stealing credit cards anymore. That's amateur hour.
The targets have shifted.
Fundamentally. The modern targets are critical infrastructure, power grids, water treatment facilities, and obviously law enforcement surveillance capabilities. The goal is long-term societal disruption.
And even the hackers just in it for the money have completely evolved. The newsletter talks about the professionalization of ransomware.
That is the third pillar, and it's the final nail in the coffin for traditional cybersecurity.
Because these aren't lone kids in hoodies anymore.
Not at all. These are corporate entities. They have specialized data exfiltration departments. They have PR teams to manage their public image and negotiate with corporate boards.
They literally have customer support desks.
Right.
Hello. Thank you for calling the syndicate extorting your hospital. How can I help you purchase cryptocurrency today?
It's wildly dystopian. But zooming back to the FBI breach, the counterintelligence implications of Salt Typhoon sitting in that specific network are just paralyzing.
Because if Chinese intelligence has a VIP pass to the wiretap system, they know exactly who the FBI is watching.
It completely flips the board. If the FBI is tracking a foreign espionage ring and they secure wiretaps, Salt Typhoon can just look at the DCSN dashboard.
They see their operatives' numbers flagged.
And they immediately warn those assets to burn their phones and flee. It neutralizes the agency. Every single investigation during that four-month window has to be assumed compromised.
The watchers were literally being watched.
Exactly.
It triggers this terrifying domino effect across the whole government. If the FBI cannot secure its most sensitive internal data, what does that mean for Homeland Security? The NSA? The CIA?
It fundamentally shakes the foundation of trust in our digital institutions, which is why the source is calling for a massive, comprehensive security audit across all federal agencies.
And even an audit might not be enough if the underlying architecture is flawed. So let's zoom out and recap the incredible journey we just took through the source material today, because we covered a massive amount of ground.
We really did.
We started by looking at Microsoft and Xbox, watching a massive corporation struggle with an identity crisis, bouncing between locking down exclusive blockbusters like Gears of War and desperately needing the multi-platform revenue of Game Pass.
A textbook crisis of control over their own business model.
Right. Then we moved to Sega and the developers of Crazy Taxi, trying to navigate the incredibly muddy waters of generative AI, attempting to be transparent about automating background art, but running headfirst into the existential fears of human artists.
The struggle to maintain human integrity in a rapidly expanding synthetic world.
And finally, we crashed into the terrifying reality of the 2026 cyber war. Corporate ransomware gangs with help desks, whistleblower cover-ups at IBM, and the FBI's most sensitive networks being spied on for months via living-off-the-land techniques. So what does this all mean for you, the listener?
It means the boundaries between these isolated issues are dissolving.
Exactly. Whether you were deciding to buy an Xbox, wondering if a human drew the billboard in your racing game, or hoping your medical records are safe, you are living at the exact intersection of these massive digital growing pains. The underlying threat is that the digital world is expanding far faster than our ability to understand, regulate, or protect it.
And if I can leave you with one final chilling thought to mull over a connection that bridges the entertainment side with the warfare side.
Oh boy, please do.
We just discussed Sega using generative AI as a savant to rapidly build digital environments, automating the tedious work to save time.
Right.
Now consider the timeline. How long until these highly professionalized corporate ransomware gangs start using those exact same advanced generative AI tools to mass produce their cyber attacks?
Wow.
If 2026 is already the worst year on record for cybersecurity, with 50 million records leaking in a single month, what happens when the hackers outsource their tedious coding work to an AI? What happens when the malware writes itself, adapting to network defenses in real time at a scale human defenders can't match?
Man, that is a heavy thought to walk away with. Because if the architect is constantly changing the blueprint and the builder is using an AI savant to generate synthetic bricks, the absolute last thing you want to hear is that the intruders outside have just figured out how to 3D print a million master keys all at once.
Next thing.
Faster than you can ever change the locks. And on that incredibly cheery, thought-provoking note, we are going to wrap things up. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the June 2026 digital landscape. Stay curious, double-check those digital deadbolts, and we will catch you on the next one.
Until next time.